Now let's stand and we're going to mix it up a little bit. Turn to Romans 11. The only announcement I have is Brother Stephen asked me about the prayer meeting at my house on the 19th, and he wanted to know if it would be all right if we had it at the church. And I said, it's fine with me. So we're having a prayer meeting, not at my house, but here at 7 p.m. on the 19th. So I got it on the calendar out there, be praying between 7 and 8, and sort of like just at my house, but just here. So, Romans 11, starting in verse 32 through the end of the chapter. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?
For who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again.
For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. To God be the glory. To God.
Thank you, blessed Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What wasted life you would have if it wasn't for him tonight. As the brothers come forward, one prayer request from Sister Ellie. She's going to go visit her family tomorrow.
So she just asked from traveling mercy. She's gone by herself, I believe. So it can be exciting for you. And maybe you've got something else you need tonight. Just ask the Lord. He is able to provide everything. And remember, He's better than your own dad. Just lift it up before your presence as Brother Steve leads us in prayer. Amen, amen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that He'd open all of heaven. Oh, and brother, it could happen. God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen, and brother, this could be that very day. I have learned all that happens just to praise Him. Hallelujah! 'Cause I know He's working all things for my good. Every tear I shed is worth the investment. You know why? For I know He'll see me through. He said He would. He has promised, I nor ear could hardly fathom all the things He has in store for those who pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen, and brother, this could be that very day. Oh, I have noticed papers, all the bad news. Oh, and it seems like every day. But for God, the child of God, makes no difference. Things are going to get better either way. I have never been more thrilled about tomorrow. Sunshine's always bursting through those clouds of gray. I just feel like something good is about to happen, and brother, this could be that very day. You feel good? I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that He'd open all of heaven. top of themselves and call on Jesus. And they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. It's coming down, 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 it's coming. Down, down, oh yes, the glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. It's coming down, 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 it's coming down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. You believe that? It's coming down, 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 it's coming down, 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 oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. With all your heart, it's coming down, 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 it's coming down. Oh, the glory of the Lord, it's coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. Oh, thank you for coming, Lord Jesus. And surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see surely the presence of the Lord, it's in this place. You love him. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty as Brother Stephen comes. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord, it's in this place. You believe it? Oh, surely. We love you, Lord. Lord, it's in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence.
You believe that, church? Let's just say that one more time. Surely he's here. He promised he would be.
Surely the presence.
surely he is here. Amen. And it doesn't really matter if you feel it or not, because he said he would be. Amen. And that's where our faith lies. That's where we confess and trust in the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, like I said Sunday, we want to start. We're going to start at the very bottom rung. How's that sound? We're going to do a lot. I'm going to preach a message called How to Read the Bible. You say, Brother Stephen, I already know how to speak English. You know, no, that's wrong. That's not what we're talking about. Amen. And we'll get into it, but there's a way into reading the Bible to understanding very fundamental things. Now, what I thank the Lord about is that the Bible tells us how to read it. And so that's what we're going to talk about. But first, we want to explain why in Matthew 11. If you have your Bibles, Matthew 11, verse 25. Surely it's good to be with you all. Amen. The Lord is good to us. Amen. Good to have Brother Eddie and Sister April back. Amen. We've been praying for them. And God surely has been good. Amen. And it's never fun to have those breakdowns down there. Yeah, amen. Amen. So we praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. One time we had a wheel come off coming back from Samuel Browning's, and Carrie was driving, so she, it's kind of funny, amen. It was pretty dangerous too, to be honest with you. But Lord is good, though. He watches over us even when we forget about it. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Matthew 11, we're going to start at verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. The scripture reads, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man," that's no man, "knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son and," so it's not just the Son, it's somebody else, "and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Amen. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Most gracious, kind, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and your mercy. We're so thankful for your love that you've given to us, O God, when we didn't even deserve it, Lord. You still sought us to save us, Lord. And that's why we love you back, Lord. We love him because he first loved us, and we're so thankful for it, O God. And now we pray, God, by thy Holy Spirit, you would take this little thought, Lord, and you would just minister unto us by thy Spirit. As we just read, Lord, no man can know the Father except the Son, and whomsoever he will reveal him. So that's why we just submit unto the Spirit of God and say, Lord Jesus, reveal yourself unto us, Lord. We're not trusting in ourselves, we're trusting in you. We're trusting you and believing now in Jesus Christ's precious name, the church said together. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And like I said, we're going to do, and I was going to try to slam it into one, and I couldn't, so this is just part one of how to read the Bible, and we're going to talk about reading between the lines. But first, we want to flip over to Matthew 13 there. As we just read, this can be contrary to what you think sometimes, where God is saying that I'm hiding from you. And he hid these things. And it says that in Matthew 11, as we read, that the Father, it seemed good in his sight. And you go, well, why would God try to hide himself from us? But he's not hiding himself from just everybody. He's hiding it from people who don't actually want to know him. See, and this is in God's infinite wisdom to understand that just because somebody says they're looking for something doesn't mean that they have the greatest intentions when they find it. Amen. Somebody can be looking through your wallet to find money, and they might have it revealed to them, but they might not have the greatest intentions with what they want to do with your money. Just ask Uncle Sam. So you see, just because it's being revealed doesn't mean people don't have the right intention. So God has to set this up in such a way to where people who are not worthy, people who do not deserve it, people who are not even seeking what God's will wants and what God wants to do with it, he has to set up a way to prevent those people from coming and yet at the same time speak to you. Amen. And he says, I've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Amen. And that's what we're going to do here. Matthew 13. Watch what Jesus says here. Matthew 13 is seven parables and so forth. And so the disciples, I wonder if the disciples even got a little tired, you know what I mean? Saying, you know, man, Jesus, you keep talking in parables. Man, when are you just going to tell us straight, you know? Parable after parable after parable. And so the disciples do ask this very same question in verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto him, because, see, there's a reason. He wasn't doing it because it was just a good bedtime story. There's a reason why God reveals these things in this way, which can be hard for us to understand. We look at it and we go, why not just tell me, Lord? That's not how he does it. And there's a reason why. And he tells you why. It's because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not given. What? He gets to decide who gets it and who don't? Yep. It's his. Amen. And he sets it up in such a way till he can give it to those who want it and that are his. And at the same time, keep those who it's not given out. Amen. And that's why he's speaking in parables. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he that shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Here, I'm just going to keep reading here. And in them is fulfilled the prophet Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. I mean, it's amazing. People can read the same Bible and come up with two conclusions, can't they? And it happens all the time. So how are we going to know which one's right and which one's wrong? Amen. It's right here. It's when the Spirit of God reveals it. Oh, my. Okay. And it's under inspiration that it happens. Amen. I jumped ahead a little bit. Let's keep reading. We're going to get to it. Amen. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. There it is. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. See, they have closed. Not God. They have closed. That's why they don't see it. Amen. It's because they don't actually want it. Amen. They're trying to use it. They don't want it. Amen. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted and I should heal them. Isn't that something? God's actually holding back the promises from them. Why? You got to remember something. God didn't just look down and wanted to do cool things to us because he knows he can. I mean, God knows he's a healer. You know what I mean? He didn't need you to. For him to figure out that he's a healer. He already knew that. Amen. So why is God healing us? Amen. It's not a clown trick. Amen. He's trying to create a relationship with you. And in order to create a relationship, he's manifesting himself to you so you can know him. Amen. It's not just a puppet trick. Amen. God heals because he's trying to create a relationship. And so people who approach God who don't want a relationship, he's holding back that promise from them then. Because that's the purpose of it. Amen. That's why God does these things. That's why God even manifests himself, is to create a relationship with you. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. Amen. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them. And hear those things which he hear, and they have not heard them. So we see here that God is speaking in parables. And the reason why is because he's hiding them from the wise and prudent and reveal them unto babes. Okay? So you have to understand that you have to read the Bible differently than other books. Okay? Now, I'm going to read a couple of statements Brother Bram said, because honestly, he said it so great, I just wanted to read them. Brother Bram said in Jehovah Jireh number 3, he said, oh, brother, the Bible is just like a love letter. You have to read between the lines. Now, isn't that just so beautiful? That's just so fantastic. It changes your thinking of the Bible when you realize the Bible's not just a bunch of rules. The Bible's not just a historical account. It's not just a, what can Hovind say, Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. It's more than just an instruction manual. Amen. It's a love letter. Amen. God is conveying His love to us. You can't start to understand the Bible when you don't understand that. Amen. God is trying to create a relationship with you, and He does it through His Word. Amen. So He says, oh, brother, the Bible is just a love letter. You have to read between the lines. See what it means. God said He hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes such as would learn. When I'm out in mission fields, my wife writes me a letter. And I love her and she loves me. And she says, dear Bill, tonight I just put the children to bed. I work today. I see what she is reading, what she is writing. But see, I so love her, I can read between the lines. I know what she's talking about. She don't have to tell me. I know because I can read between the lines. Okay? Now remember, it's not read around a line. It's reading between lines. And we'll explain what that means in just a second. Let me just read one more statement Brother Bram said. And Abraham interceded after him. You see, when you read the Bible, you don't read it just like you would read a newspaper. Right. See, it's different. And he makes a point. Oh, they had an explosion the other day. Now, I don't know whether it's true or not. They can say anything in the news. And boy, they say anything in the news now they want to. Right? But you don't know if it's true or not. You know what I mean? They could be making it all up and you have no idea. You don't read the Bible like that. You're not reading the Bible going, is this right? Is that right? See, I'm going to tell you something. You can't approach God without, if you don't got faith, ain't going to do you no good. You have to first believe that He is and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's Hebrews 11. Okay? So you can't read the Bible like a newspaper. Okay? Let me add to that real quick. You don't read the Message like that either. You don't read the Bible like the Message either. There's a quote Brother Bram said in 65, right, when he was in Arizona. He said, the best cooks are in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, I'm sorry, Defiance. I guess you're always going to be second best cooks. See, that's not, you don't read between the lines of those things. Hey, man, he was probably being nice, wasn't he? But it doesn't mean that there's only good cooks in Phoenix, Arizona, and everybody else. But you see, you read the Bible differently than that. The Bible is saying everything for a reason. Amen? And they had an explosion. Now, I don't know whether it's true or not. They tell us so many things that's wrong, you just can't pay no attention. But when you read the Bible, it's a love letter to the church. The Bible said, Jesus, thank God for hiding it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. And revealed it to babes, such as would learn. Amen. So that's the way you have to read God's word, between the lines. If you love Him, He just reveals it to you. You start there. And that's where we should start. You start there. What is this Bible to you? It's a love letter. It is God's mind being revealed to you so that you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why every single word in here is Jesus. As Brother Bram would tell us, if you read a passage of Scripture and can't see Jesus, then read it again because you missed Him. Every Scripture is speaking of Jesus. So there's a way to read the Bible such for babes such as would learn. Okay? If you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and open up to 2 Peter 1. And we're going to start explaining this little technique. I don't know if that's the best way to say it, but whatever. Reading between the lines. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. The Scripture is so amazing. Can you say amen? Like I said, the Bible is going to tell us this very thing. Amen. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. The Scripture reads, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. This is actually when Peter is recounting when he saw God, Moses, and Elijah on Mount Transfiguration. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And then Peter says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. So think about it. He was up on a mountain, saw Jesus transformed. He saw Moses and Elijah, as we talked about Sunday. He even heard a voice from heaven say, this is Christ. And Peter said, we got something even better than that. Something that's more sure than even that. Why? Brother Bram tells us why. It's because if that voice was contrary to this, then the voice is wrong and this is right. Amen. You know, that's how Brother Bram revealed the seals. First step, he would hear from an angel and the angel would tell them. That wasn't it though. Step two, he took it back to this. And it was already in here. Glory to God. Because Brother Ben said if that angel would have told him something different than in here, he'd throw the angel out. This is right. See, that's how you read the Bible. That's how you have to approach it. Amen. This is always going to be right. Even with feelings and emotions and opinions, the word is always right. Amen. And that's what Peter is saying here. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first. Where are we starting at? Reading between the lines. Knowing this first. Why do we read between the lines? Because the Bible is a love letter. Amen. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Do you know what that means? You can't take one verse and run with it. What's so amazing about the Bible is that it's cross-referencing itself. It tells you what it means. Amen. It tells you the types. It tells you the shadows, which we're going to talk about next Wednesday, Lord willing. Amen. It identifies these things. We're not making it up. Amen. We're not just sitting here and we came up with a better idea. This is how always the Bible's been. It's always been in there. Amen. And it was a love letter. And in that love letter, there's lines that God is hiding things from the wise and prudent. But because you love him, you can read between the lines. And you can see something come out of it. A good example of this is David and Goliath. A great example of this is David and Goliath. Because if you don't read between the lines of David and Goliath, David's a murderer. Do you know how much genocide and murder is in the Bible? The critics of the Bible will say, look how much death is in the Bible. How can you believe something like that then? Well, they're looking at it as a historical account. They're looking at it as a book of rules. But when you realize it's a love letter, God can, you can start reading between the lines then and see why God is doing that. But you got to start there first. If you're not there first, then it'll do no good. Amen. Knowing this first, that there is no scripture of a private interpretation. Amen. Isaiah 28. Hope you don't mind turning to a few of these. Isaiah 28. We'll actually probably come to this scripture a few times in this 101 series. This is very fundamental foundation to even Christianity and even Christian doctrine and so forth. Isaiah 28 and verse 9. Whom shall ye teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Well, who wants to do that? So who's he going to do it to? See, what's so amazing about this is that he's telling you it. Who's going to teach knowledge? Them that are weaned from the milk. Them that want to start maturing. Them that want to grow up. Them that want to know. Amen. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Do you know that's a promise that God said you can understand? And that's why I don't necessarily harbor this idea that you can't understand things. You just got to believe it. I'm not saying for every situation. Amen. But real, when you have a real question, don't, you're not, it's not like you're hiding from God. You know what I mean? It's not like you're hiding from God. Amen. And can I say something for each one of us sometimes? If somebody's questioning something about God, remember, they weren't even hiding from God anyways. So the best answer is not, well, you just got to believe it, get over it. I'm telling you, amen. There's reasons. God has reasons. Amen. And maybe God was trying to use you to express that reason. Amen. So see, there's reasons and understandings involved in these things. That if you are willing to look for it, God has it for you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. You see, there's reasons for these things. If you have the right motive and objective. If this ain't a love letter to you, you don't have the right motive and objective. Amen. Oh my, isn't that beautiful? Isaiah 28, continue with this. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Verse 10. Here's where reading between the lines really hits. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. You see, not just one scripture defines it all. Amen. There's a little here, there's a little there. And when it comes together, it says the same thing. And what does it say? It says Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's a love letter to the bride. It's a love letter to them that believe him. Amen. It's the same message to each person. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Verse 11, for with stammering lips and with another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is refreshing, yet they would not hear. Amen. Why do they not hear? But the word of the Lord was unto them. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here little and there little. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. This is why people get caught in false doctrines. This is why the Bible even says if people don't have this attitude, God's going to send them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. It's either first or second Thessalonians, I can't quite remember, but that's all right. But see, God's going to send a strong lie. How does he do it? Amen. It's because they're not taking the word precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Amen. You know, remember this. You can take things too far in the Bible. And this is a little bit of what we're going to talk about next week, Lord willing. But I remember a preacher one time. You know, the Bible ties to us as sheep. And that's a good thing, right? But one time he's saying that, the Bible talks, types you as the sheep. And you know what sheep are? Sheep are dumb. And so he said, see, you're all dumb. See, I don't know. That doesn't sound good. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't feel like calling myself dumb. Now, how do we know it took it too far? First, you can feel that unction in you. Did you notice even when I said it here tonight, nobody said anything? Why? Well, you don't want to necessarily say amen to something that sounds funny. But then, too, you're not going to go ew because you're like, maybe pastor's got a reason for saying that. You know what I mean? So it puts people in a weird state. Why did it put you there? Because it wasn't in the word. Amen. Good. When he talks about sheep, he talks about how they follow somebody. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus never used sheep to question the intellect of his believers, but that they were able to hear from the word. Amen. So you see how you can take things too far in the Bible. That's why it's line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Even Jesus does this. Remember when on the Beatitudes, he said, you have heard of old. Amen. Sure. That if somebody steals, take double. Somebody asks you to walk a mile, I'm sorry, I'm butchering it now, aren't I? Take a coat and so forth like that. Oh, my goodness, why can't I remember? Yeah, I know that one, but if somebody, but Jesus said, you have heard of old, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Thank you, Jesus. He said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, amen. Amen. That you don't give back evil with evil, but give good back. Uh-huh. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Jesus was reading between the lines. Which one would you follow? Do you do eye for an eye or not do eye for eye? You see? Yet that scripture's right. Right? It's still in the Bible. How do you do it? See? Here a little, there a little. God is trying to express something. And who is he going to reveal it to? Them that he loves. Because this is a love letter. Amen. You read between the lines. Amen. So let's put this in practice. Does that sound okay? You know, so, you know, I just told you that the Bible says you need to read between the lines. Well, do you have an example of us reading between the lines? Well, I'm glad you asked. Amen. You have to understand something about reading between the lines. A good step of this is, and I always use this, I even use this for the kids. I wore a red shirt for this example. Right now, I'm wearing a red shirt, right? And you could sit here and say, Brother Stephen, that's a red shirt. But with this red shirt, what else am I saying? Am I saying anything else? I am saying a lot of other things, actually, with this red shirt. I'm also saying I'm not wearing a blue shirt. You see, I'm not wearing a black shirt. And so I am saying a bunch of things just by declaring this is my shirt's color. And because I declared it, now if you were all closing your eyes, you may know I wear a shirt, but you could all be guessing which color shirt I have. One would be say blue, one would say red, one would say green. And guess what? You would all be in one sense right. Who could be wrong and who could be right? But when it was revealed, you go, oh, not only is he wearing a red shirt, he's not wearing a blue one. So I know this one was right, that one was right, but you were wrong, you were wrong. We go, yeah, I was wrong. It wasn't a blue shirt, it was a red shirt. See? So with that information, that's how you start reading between the lines. So let's read a scripture with that thinking in mind. Amen. It's in Genesis 3. And we're going to start with this one because we're going to go into serpent seed later. So we might as well start with this one. I even have, don't turn to this one, but this actually happened to me while I was preaching one time. How reading between the lines can work sometimes. As I was preaching and I got really excited, praise the Lord, and I had a scripture down here in 1 Thessalians 4:13. Don't turn to this one, but let me just read it. And I said, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Okay, so there's others out there that sorrow, that are sorrowing, that have no hope. So then let's say if you're not a part of that others group, then what is the Bible saying? The Bible is also saying you're not sorrowing, and you do have hope. So you see how that scripture, that even though it looked like being negative to the others, turned out to be positive for you. Because you're not the other group, you're the one that's believing. So since you're a believer, you're not like them that sorrow not, who have no hope. But I'm like this group who does have hope, amen. And so therefore, the scripture that looked negative turned out to be positive for me. Now did it say that? No. I read between the lines. Why? God loves me and I love him. And I can read between those scriptures. And it's telling me why he's trying to convey to me. So I told you to turn to Genesis 3:20. Now we're going to start reading between the lines. Are you ready? Oh, what time is it? Genesis 3, verse 20. The scripture reads, excuse me, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Okay, so let's say it like this. Let's say that scripture didn't exist. Let's say what we just read wasn't in the Bible, okay? Well, then somebody would ask you to say, okay, who's the mother of all living? And you go, well, probably Eve. Then. I mean, who else would it be? Okay, who's the father of all living? You go, well, maybe Adam, you know what I mean? You would be like, and you would almost think to yourself, how is Eve not the mother of all living? Why does the Bible even have to say this? That'd be a good question. Is the Bible just wasting our time? Is the Bible just saying, well, I'm just saying some useless information? You don't read it like a newspaper. So when we read that, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she's the mother of all living. And you go, well, wait a minute. Remember what I just said? If my shirt's red, it's not blue. So the Bible is specifically saying that Eve is the mother of all living. So the question becomes, why didn't it call Adam the father of all living? Why didn't it? I mean, it specifically wants to take time out of your schedule as you read Genesis 3 to let you know that Eve is the mother of all living. Remember, this is reading between the lines. You don't read the Bible like a newspaper. It is saying Eve is the mother of all living. Why is it saying that? Why did it not call Adam the father of all living? Now, that's one line we got. We had one line. Eve is the mother of all living. Now, we have another line. Why didn't it call Adam the father of all living? So then we read between the lines, and what do we come up with? Maybe Adam isn't the father of all living. And so then you go and you would stop for a second and you'll go, well, wait a minute, Stephen. How would you know that? Amen. How would you know that? Well, let's look, and I just thought of another scripture to do this. Go to Genesis 3. Oh, you're already there. I wasn't. So Genesis 3, and if you go to, we'll get a little serpent seed in. Like I said, we'll go more into this later. Genesis 3. I'm in Genesis 4. Now remember, what am I saying? The Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living, but it didn't call Adam the father of all living. Is it because Adam isn't the father of all living? And so we read here in Genesis 3. And verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Did you notice there's two seeds then? Right. Amen. There is a woman's seed. And who's the thy seed? It depends on who he's talking to. The serpent seed. See, it's right there in the Bible. It ain't weird. Amen. It's right there. God is saying it. There is a woman's seed and a serpent seed. And there's enmity between them. Okay, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. God did that in Christ. And we say, praise the Lord. Amen. But verse 16 is key. Amen. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Me and Steve one time did a Bible study of serpent seed with Pete. That's his name. Old Pete, old Mennonite preacher. He said, I want to do a Bible study with you and with another brother at church. And it's like, okay, well, here we go. You know, and sure enough, that other brother from church came from his Mennonite church. And this guy really loved meanings of words. He loved it. Yeah, we can't even understand the Bible, he said, because it's written in English and it was originally written in Hebrew and Greek. No point in trying. You got to look every word up. I said, okay, well. You know what Brother Ram said, right? Give a cow enough rope, they hang themselves. So we get to this scripture right here. Multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And I said, see, whatever happened before verse 16, there's a conception going on. And he said, well, what does that word mean? I said, look it up. Look it up in the original Hebrew. So we start talking. And I noticed he got quiet. He didn't say nothing. So I said, hey, you looked up that word conception. What does it mean? You know what he said? Pregnancy. So whatever happened at this tree, Eve got pregnant from it. Now, boy, if apples did that, I'm in a world of hurt. I mean, stay out of the produce line, you know what I mean? We're not going down there. See, whatever happened there, something else was going on. And then if you go to Genesis 4, and Adam knew his wife, Genesis 4, verse 1, and Adam knew his wife, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Why? Because all life comes from God. Remember this, Satan did not trick God. Satan didn't trick God. You know what I mean? God's bigger than that. Like Satan could trick God. Come on. God knew what he was doing. God was using Satan. Remember that too. God is Satan is a tool in the hand of God. He's also a hand of tool when Satan comes to you. He's still in the hand of God. He never leaves it. So the devil can't beat you up that bad. He's a hand. He's a tool in the hand of God. You go, if the devil starts beating you up, you just go, well, God must be doing some work on me.
That's right.
Amen. Maybe he's doing some overtime work on me. You know what I mean? Construction time. We're working 12 hours today. We got work to do on this boy.
Uh-huh.
Amen. But you notice, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare. Wait, where's the knowing? One knowing, two children. And so then remember, what are we discussing? The Bible, for some reason, calls Eve the mother of all living. Why didn't it call Adam the father of all living? It's because he's not. Now, what are we doing right now? We're doing here a little, there a little. We're taking here a little, there a little, and we're bringing it in. Why isn't it called Adam the father of all living? It's because he's not. And the nail of a coffin is in 1 John 3:12. 1 John 3:12. We'll go ahead and read it together. Why not? It's the nail in the coffin for this. Amen. Well, boy, this is going a little quicker than I anticipated. Got to remember something. We all got to get adjusted a little bit. So I was doing my notes, and I was like, well, I better just stop with reading between lines. I don't know if I can go into types and shadows yet. There's a whole lot I want to talk about. Now it's like, well, maybe I could have. I don't know. So we're just trusting the Lord. Amen. We don't mind short services or long services. We just want God. Amen. 1 John 3, verse 12. The scripture reads, not at Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Did you know that the devil's a father? That word of there, you can also use it for begotten of. It doesn't say he's of Adam, and go look it up. Adam is never called the father of Cain in the Bible once. He is called the father of Seth. He is called that. It's in Luke 3. When you do the genealogy of Jesus, it says whose son, who is the son of Adam. Never mentioned Cain. Why? Because he's not. Did you know the devil's a father? You say, Stephen, maybe we got time for one more scripture, don't we? And you go, yeah, we do. Well, then let's go read it. It's in John 8. Let's read it. John 8. Now, what are we doing right now? Here a little, there a little. Verse 39, John 8, verse 39. Watch this here. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 39. This is Jesus debating with the Pharisees and so forth. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So what do Abraham's children do? They believe God. That's what they do. Amen. They believe God. It wasn't a genealogy thing as they were trying to make it. Amen. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Well, they just said Abraham's our father. So, of course, they're a little offended here. Well, do you know who my great daddy is? Do you know what I heard from this, that, or another? And so what do they say? They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. I thought Abraham was their father. See, now they're trying to do what I call one-up. You ever heard of one-up before? One-up testimony? One-up preaching? They got to one you up somehow. Because what? You made a pretty good point. So they got to one you up. And that's what they're trying to do. Well, hey, God's our father. We're not like you. But watch what he says in verse 42. If God were your father, you would have loved me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye of your father, the devil. So the devil can be a father. Isn't that something? Watch this. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Look how perfect the Bible is. The son of Cain, who was of his father, the devil, what was the first thing he did wrong? Murdered Abel. Not like God, but like his daddy. And then what did it just say? It just said that he doesn't abode in the truth. What was the second thing Cain did? He lied about it. When he went to God, didn't he? When God came out and called him about it, what did he do? He lied. He said, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he's at. Cain knew where Abel was. So you see, we just took here a little, there a little. We read between the lines, and what's happening? Revelation's pouring in on us. Now we're going, huh, that's a good point. Now you're going, wow, look at this. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you would do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Where was Satan a murderer in the beginning? What's the in the beginning mean? It means Genesis. You look up the word Genesis, it means in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a seed chapter. It's where everything starts. And in the beginning, Satan was a murderer. Who did he kill? Oh, man, I tell you what. This is like heaven to me. That's so amazing. And then people want to say, man just wrote this. How did that get set up? That Jesus knew. And think about it. Jesus is the Word the whole time. Amen. So the Word is speaking of itself. And it's saying he was a murderer in the beginning. Where was he? Where was Satan in the beginning? Where was he? Where did he kill? Who did he murder? He murdered in Cain. That spirit was in Cain, who was of the wicked one. And he was a murderer in the beginning. And we were able to do here a little, there a little. We are able to read between the lines, and God is showing you more of what the Word is saying. If you keep reading here too, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Amen. Which of you convince me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now what did that do? That sounds bad, don't it? And he is saying a negative to the Pharisees. But what does that do to you now? Now you're looking at the Word and you're going, oh, I just read between the lines a little bit. I'm getting a little bit more understanding here. And what did Jesus say here? He's saying, you see, you're starting to hear from me. And because you're starting to hear from me, what can that tell you about you? Is that you come from God then. And now you can throw your hands and you can say, praise the Lord. I don't got to be nervous. I don't got to question. If I can hear God from that, God can always speak to me then. See, just by reading between the lines a little bit, you can prove that you're a child of God. And you don't have to sit there and question about it, wonder about it, hope about it, get nervous about it. Amen. If you can hear from God's Word, and you can hear that, and you can point, and you can take here a little, there a little, and God's able to speak it through to you. Oh, that's worth more than all the money in the world. Can you say amen? Amen. You love the Lord? Well, I was flirting with the idea of approaching types and shadows, but we're going to save that next Wednesday. Amen. Because I want to actually show you something else too, but as Daddy, you want to come and sing some songs? Like I told you, this is 101 series. I told you that, right? So I told you it's going to be just a lot of doctrine and teaching and reading and so forth, but we're thankful for that too, aren't we? I love the preaching. I love to preach too. You know what I mean? And I love it when a preacher just says something so good under fire of the Holy Ghost that you just jump out of your seat and you go, praise the Lord Jesus. And sometimes you need to sit down and listen a little bit. Can you say amen? And like I told you, we started at rung one. Why are we starting with reading between the lines? It's because we have to start doing that in order to understand Scripture. And in order to understand. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a little tidbit. How's that sound for next Wednesday? I heard just a denominational preacher say this the other day, that you can't find America in the Bible. And they was asking, why can't you find America in the Bible? And I got to thinking about it a little bit. I said, huh, if you don't read between the lines or type things out, you can't find America in the Bible.
That's true.
And it was actually kind of neat to me. I went, that's pretty cool. And so that's what we're going to do next week, Lord willing, is be able to use these tools. Remember, why did God do this? He's hiding it from the wise and prudent. And he's trying to reveal them unto you. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Most gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this little time you've given to us, Lord. Just to look at your word, Lord God, and be able to understand more of what you have for us, oh God. I pray, God, we would all yield to the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Just yield to the idea of how much you love us. And because you love us, we can love you back, Lord. And as we look at these scriptures and this and these texts, and as we go through this little series on Wednesday to continue to mold us and shape us, Lord, we just pray, God, by your Holy Spirit, that you continue to use it to further reveal yourself unto us, Lord. I'm sure some of us have heard these things 1,000 times, and they can seem very basic. But sometimes, Lord, those basic things are what build up into the great things. Even to build those great pyramids in Egypt, it took one block at a time. And so that's what we're so thankful, Lord. We pray, God, by the Holy Spirit, that you continue to build us and grow us in the stature of a perfect man, as you promised in your word. Amen. Continue to build us and mold us by your word, Lord. We're trusting it and believing it now. In Jesus Christ's precious name, the church said together. Amen. You love the Lord. Dad, go ahead and sing a song for us, Dad. Go ahead.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
There's no turning back.
No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me.
I won't turn back.
You can take this
whole world,
but amen. Give me Jesus.
Oh, let's sing it, church.
You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus.
You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus.
I won't turn back.
Yes.
Well, I have started for the kingdom. I have started.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For the kingdom.
I have started for the kingdom.
I won't turn back.
Amen.
No, God, go with me. Still I will follow.
No, God, go with me. Still I will follow.
No, God, go with me. Still I will follow.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Well, I decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided. We decided, Lord.
Follow Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
Take the whole world.
No turning back.
Oh, let's throw it all away.
You can take
can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, you can take this whole world.
Hallelujah.
But give me Jesus. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back.
There's no turning back.
No, I won't turn back.
I have decided. Amen.
We've decided.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, I love you, Father.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus.
God. I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back. No, 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 no turning. Have decided
to follow. Amen.
Oh,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
Amen.
No turning back.
You got another song in your heart, go ahead and sing it. You got another song in your heart, go ahead.
Lord, Lord.
Yeah, that's good. You've surely been. Oh, let's just take a time and worship the Lord. Amen. Lord, Lord, Lord. You've surely been good to me. Can you say that? Lord, Lord, Lord. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Amen.
Oh, you saved my soul.
Think about it.
I was lost.
When you were lost,
surely
he's been good to us. Amen.
You saved my soul when I was lost. He's surely been good to me.
Even when we didn't deserve it, he still saved my soul.
He's surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do.
Amen.
Oh, you filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah, you filled me with the Holy Ghost.
You've surely been good to me.
You filled me with the Holy Ghost.
You've surely been good to me. You have done what this all the world couldn't do. Amen.
Oh, yes, you healed my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. You
healed my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me.
You healed my body when I was sick.
You surely been good to me.
You have done what this world could not do.
Oh, Lord, 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 amen.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, Lord, Lord. You surely been good to me. Oh, let the church say it, amen. You surely been good to me.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Amen. Let's get the Lord a half clap of praise. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the Lord Jesus? Amen. God surely is good to us. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible being a love letter. Amen. Remember this. God's not your enemy. God's your ally. God wants to be your helper. God wants to help you and make you lift up even higher. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Remember a prayer meeting, not this Friday, next 19th. Friday, 19th. Amen. Remember that? Remember, that's extra credit. You know, we're just here just to try to worship the Lord the best we can, and I think it's okay to pray with each other sometimes. That's kind of why I thought, hey, Dad, you want to do it at the church? We can. I think that'd be great. And if you can make it, make it. If you can't, you can't. No big deal. Remember, it's 7 to 8. If you got to leave a little early because of something or another, go ahead and leave a little early. We're not here to, we're just here to be a house of prayer. Amen. You know what I want the devil to accuse me of? Praying too much. Amen. I want him to get so upset. When he wakes up in the morning, I'm there praying. When he goes to bed, I'm still there praying. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord? Brother Eddie, why don't you come up and dismiss us in a word of prayer? Is that all right with you, brother? Just remember to pray one for another. Help each other out. Go ahead, Brother Eddie. Pray for the service. Pray for us dismissing, brother. Yes, Lord, we're trusting you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you, brother. Love you, buddy.
I love you.
Love one another. Amen. Say hi to each other back there at least once. That's okay. Love one another. Go in the name of Jesus. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.
What a day of rejoicing that will